In Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, where we look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, we have the hours of the cross mentioned. Three specific hours are mentioned of the 6 hours that the Lord Jesus endured on the cross. And so just turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 16, and I want to connect these mentions of the three particular points of time on the cross. The third hour, and then we get the sixth hour, and we get the ninth hour mentioned. And what is the significance of the mention of these 3 hours, especially the ninth hour, in connection with our access to God? It's quite interesting, really. So let's just look at that. Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, it says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." And then we drop down to verse 32. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come," that's verse 33, "and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." And then in verse 34, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," or lama sabachthani, I think is the proper pronunciation, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then I want to connect this with verse 38. "And the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom after the Lord Jesus had cried with a loud voice." And we see that he dismisses his spirit. Then the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Now, to get some understanding of this, we need to turn back to Exodus chapter 39, where we get the ordinance of the continual burnt offering. Now, in the Jewish ordinance of the continual burnt offering, there was a morning offering and an evening offering. A lamb was offered on the brazen altar in the morning, and a lamb was offered in the evening. And so in chapter 29 of Exodus, we read in verse 38, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs, the first year, day by day, continually." So each day this lamb was to be offered, once in the morning, once in the evening. And when I say morning and evening, it's not necessarily at dawn or at midnight, but in the Jewish reckoning of things, there was a specific time. And so verse 39, "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other in the evening." The morning offering of the lamb was at 9 o'clock in the morning, according to our clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then we have the evening offering, which was offered, and that would be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to our clock. That was considered the beginning or the twilight between the evenings. That's when it was offered. And so we see in verse 42, "This shall be a continual burnt offering through all your generations." And the Lord says, "I will meet with you there and speak unto you." So the Jewish people would have this particular communication with God through the offering of the burnt offering of the lamb, the continual offering of the evening and morning, was connected with meeting with God. Now, of course, in the Jewish system of things, it was only the high priest that could draw near into the Holy of Holies, and that only once a year, and the priests in the holy place, and they stood there on behalf of the people. Both the high priest and the priest were there on behalf of the people. Of course, we know under the finished work of the Lord Jesus, now that we are all priests and we can draw near. But I want to show you here the type or the typology of this. So you have the continual burnt offering of the lamb, one in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, it was offered in the Jewish system of things. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have the what they call the evening lamb or the evening continual burnt offering. And now I want to connect that with our chapter in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, where we have these hours mentioned. It says of the Lord Jesus in verse 24 that they crucified him and they parted his garments, casting lots for them. So they crucified the Lord Jesus, verse 24. And in verse 25, it specifically tells us the hour. It was the third hour, when they crucified him. Now, the third hour is actually 9 o'clock in the morning. And so just as they were crucifying the Lord Jesus, as they were putting, they had stripped him of his garments, they had, as they were putting the nails in his hands and his feet, putting him on the cross, the priests in the temple were offering up the morning offering, just at that time. It's amazing how God's clock works, and that everything, especially connected with the Lord Jesus, is right according to schedule. Not too early, not too late, right on God's timetable. And so we see the Lord Jesus here being crucified when the morning lamb was offered. They crucified him in the third hour. That's 9 o'clock in the morning. Then we get this second reference to the time. That's in verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now the sixth hour would be 12 noon, according to our clock. And at 12 noon, at the very height of the sun in the day, the very brightest time of the day, the sun began to be darkened, and a great darkness fell over the land. It was during that time of darkness, and this darkness lasted 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, we're told here. Beginning at the sixth hour, at 12 noon, the darkness fell over the land. This darkness represents to us the time when the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And so God was pouring upon him the judgment for all of our sin. And that communion between him and God was broken because he was made sin for us. And man couldn't look upon that scene. The heavens were darkened. The sun was darkened. And then towards the end of that period of 3 hours, we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus crying out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that's an amazing, mysterious expression of the Lord and his being forsaken. And then we get down to the ninth hour here in verse 34. That's exactly when he cried. This cry of forsaking was at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our time. And it was just at that time, the ninth hour, when he cried this cry of desolation, the evening offering of the continual burnt offering of the lamb was being offered. And I wonder, you know, up on the Temple Mount, as the priests were offering the evening offering on the altar, and the veil of the temple, it says in verse 38, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. I'm sure that they would have heard it, because this veil was not just a simple skinny curtain or a thin curtain. It was a very thick work. And for it to be torn shows it's the hand of God from the top to the bottom, signifying that it's the hand of God tearing this curtain. They must have heard it. It must have been come to as a shock. But the point is here that it occurred just as they were offering the evening offering. Now, before we go any further in connection with the veil, we want to say, what does it mean? What is the significance of the ninth hour? Well, the ninth hour is the hour of prayer. It's the hour of the continual burnt offering, the evening offering. But that was associated with prayer. So if you come to Acts chapter 3, you'll see this. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." So we're told here the ninth hour was the hour of prayer. It was at the offering of the evening sacrifice was when prayers were to be made. It was a special time designated as the hour of prayer. And we get a similar thing in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, the centurion. It says in verse 3, "He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour." It was when he was praying. It says verse 2, "He was a devout man who feared God, and he prayed to God always, and he was in prayer, and he saw in a vision at the ninth hour," the hour of prayer, he saw a vision of an angel showing him would eventually lead to him knowing the way of salvation. Peter would come to him and tell him the way of salvation. But I just mentioned these two verses to show that the ninth hour in the Bible is called the hour of prayer. And isn't it wonderful, dear brother and sister, that when the Lord Jesus was on the cross and when he was forsaken of God, it was during the hour of prayer. And when he cried out this prayer, "My God, Why hast thou forsaken me? It was a cry of desolation that God was not actually hearing him because he was being made sin for us. He was desolated under the wrath of God. He was not heard. We know later, according to Psalm 22, that he would be heard. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn or from the horns of the wild oxen. That means, speaking of his resurrection, his prayer was answered in resurrection. But at this point, he was not heard. But it's at the hour of prayer. But this very hour of prayer and this very desolation of the Lord Jesus shows us that now the way is made open for us to be able to pray, because the veil in the temple was rent or torn in two just at that time, signifying that the way of God is now open to us. And so if we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest," or the most holy place, "by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil." That's reference to the veil in the tabernacle and the veil in the temple. That is to say, his flesh. So his body on the cross, his flesh, his body on the cross, giving himself as a sacrifice. That body is a picture of the veil. And when he was crucified, when he gave up his life, when his body was bruised and broken for us, that it was a picture of now the way the veil in the temple had been opened up. We can draw near. We have access to God. And isn't it touching, brother and sister, that when the Lord Jesus was not heard, he was not heard in order that we may be heard. And that we don't have to have a set time, like the ninth hour, like the Jewish people have. They have set times, actually three times a day. Or like the Muslim, who prays five times a day. That at any time, under any circumstance, we can draw near into the very presence of God. And the only reason that is because the Lord Jesus gave himself as an offering to sin. Isn't it wonderful when we connect these things together? May the Lord encourage today and encourage you in prayer that wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, turn to God today in prayer. Get in the habit of prayer, regular prayer as well. May God bless you today. Amen.